16, affirmation of the proposition that the scriptures teach that the child of God may receive forgiveness of sins done in ignorance before and without learning of those sins. And I just want to notice some things that he said. His chart, well, my chart, A2, that's the proposition. Now, in 13, please, in 13. In 13, he says, love the truth. Now, that's right. That is one of the three elements in walking in the light that John mentioned. He mentions right living, genuine loving, and true belief. Love the truth. So I thought I'd ask, just because a Christian says one thing, does that mean he does not love the truth, see perfect again, see those things which are above, walk in the light, walk after the truth? Now, these are questions that I asked in our first debate. In fact, you missed your chance to answer those questions. You missed your chance to ask me about those questions. You should have brought those up in the first debate. I didn't mention any of those things in this debate tonight. I didn't mention walk in the light. Yes, just because the Christian is one sinner, one sin bigger, does that mean he does not walk in the light? All right, now, Pat, you don't know the difference between a walk and a step. That's your problem. There's a difference between a step and a walk. Just as there's a difference between one act and a way. There are myriads of acts along the way, and there are myriads of steps, a multitude of steps, in a walk. Some of our brethren don't understand the difference between an individual Christian and a local church, or a plurality of Christians and a local church. And thus, I don't think you understand the difference between a step and a walk. And so, yes, I believe that a Christian can commit a sin of ignorance and yet be walking in the light. And I just wonder, Pat, who is walking in the light? Page 18, please. Mind 18. Now, here we have three positions on apostasy. There's Calvin's position, there's Marian's position, and Donahue's position. I'm not saying any of these men originated these positions. Calvin did not originate what is commonly called Calvinism. Augustine talked about hundreds of years before Calvin was born, but Calvin is here to say for it. Calvin believed in the impossibility of apostasy, that it's absolutely impossible for one to fall away. Marian believed in the possibility of apostasy. Although Pat thinks, apparently, that I believe in the impossibility. No, I don't believe in the impossibility of apostasy. I believe in the possibility of apostasy. Whereas for the Donahue, believes in the inevitability of apostasy. Here's N 13 again. He says, when a person commits one sin, in ignorance or otherwise, he is not loving the truth or any of the other phrases, above phrases, and that is one act. When a person sins, he is not walking after the Spirit in that act. He is walking after the flesh. Again, he doesn't know there's been an act and a way. He doesn't know there's been a step and a walk. A person will never sin. Oh, well, he will walk in the light. Never sin, will walk in the light, because the Donahue believes that to walk in the light is to never sin. And because if you commit one sin, you're not walking in light. A person who will never sin, that is, a person who will walk in light, as long as he is perfectly loving the truth 100% of the time, this person will see in fact, and I believe that passage, brother. I believe that passage. And that passage also says, and ye shall receive. And I believe that also. The truth, he will always take the way of escape, 1 Kings 10:13. Now, but as I'm saying for things, the first thing that 10:13 teaches that God will directly intervene in our lives, just like he directly intervened in the lives of Abimelech. But let me point out to you that in that particular passage, 1 Kings 10:13, Paul writes, there is no temptation taking you, but that is such as is common to man. He's not talking here about God's providence over his children. He's not talking about special provision for children. He's talking about that which is common to man. God is faithful, and will not tell you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. But what is that way to escape? Over in Luke chapter 4, we have one of two records of three temptations of Jesus by Satan. And I want you to notice here in verse 3, the devil said unto Jesus, it's time for the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. That's a temptation. God has provided a way of escape for that. How did God provide a way of escape for that? By having it recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, It is that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of every word of God. Jesus took away the account by calling to mind a scripture that applies to the situation. And what is his behavior for that scripture? He couldn't have called it to mind. He couldn't have called it to mind. And couldn't have made him aware of the case. Alright, but he did know about that scripture. He did call it to mind. He escaped. And two other temptations, and the same thing. He called to mind. Now, I'm only defending the individual who is learning the truth, so that he can find the way to escape every temptation, and the individual who does take away the stick every time he is tempted and recognizes it as such. He knows what the Bible says about it. He takes away to escape. But there are times when he's not tempted at all. But because of his ignorance, he does something that is sin without temptation. That means you're wrong when you say that a child of God cannot sin without first having been tempted. Wherein is the temptation if you don't even know the things of sin? No, there's no temptation there. Here's an individual, he thinks that he's scripturally man. And he loves his wife, and he knows that the Bible says that he has surrendered his benevolence under his wife. He doesn't know he's committing fornication. So there was no temptation to commit fornication there, but it was sin nonetheless. Sin of ignorance. Alright? A person will seek and find the truth, and I believe that. And a person who is seeking is the person I believe is walking in the light, brother Donahue. He's walking in the light. Now, to your position, if he's still seeking, he's not walking in the light. Under your position, if he's still seeking, he's not in the light yet because he doesn't know all the light. He doesn't have all the light. And so, again, who is walking in the light? Who is walking in the light? Only those who have stopped seeking. He'll always take away the sweat. That's why he will always take away the case if he continues to love the truth provided by God alongside of every temptation. I believe that. Of course, now listen to this, of course, none of us, that includes each one of you sitting there, none of us, perfectly love the truth 100% of the time. That is where sin comes in, and that doesn't give you any ability to hostile or whatever. Pat believes when you sin, you fall. And he believes that none of us love the truth 100% of the time. That's where sin comes in, and that's the inevitability of apostasy. Now, I want to see my chart on Hebrews chapter 6, it's chart 821. Chart 821. The writer of Hebrews says, in Hebrews 6:46, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, or they partake of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, the power of the world, come. Well, that's the individual who was at one time walking in the light. They said it is impossible for those, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves, not without a fresh and bitter open shame. Now, that says that sin is the fall. So everybody that sins falls. Fall the way, and according to this passage, if that's true, then it's impossible if they shall sin to renew them again and repent of sin and crucify themselves and the Son of God. Everybody that ever commits a sin crucifies the Son of God afresh and puts them in open shame. Now look at question 6:1. Look right there. Brethren, can a man be overtaken in a fall and forget it because it's impossible to remember him? No. Restore. You who prepare to restore such a one and pray the meekness. Okay, then to be overtaken in a fall, I guess that would be a sin. If not to fall, if not to fall over. Because it's possible to restore such a one. And Paul commanded the Galatians to do that. Would Paul command them? Would God command them to do the impossible? Restore such a one. Well, Paul, how can I do that, brother? But Hebrews says that if all away, it's impossible to renew them again or repent. Well, obviously, then, the sin is not necessary to fall away. Also, James 5, 19 and 20, 89, please. The bottom verse. Brethren, if he of you do earth the truth and one convert, but wait a minute. Right, then it's possible to earth the truth and not fall away. Because Paul says, if any of you err from the truth, and one convert him, it's possible to convert a person that errs in the truth. But if the brother of you get to repent, then they fall away. Why? Because they crucified the Son of God and fulfilled the plan. Okay. And so again, I bring up these verses to emphasize that past doesn't know the difference between committing a sin. He doesn't know the difference between an isolated act of sin and a course of life that is sinful. To walk in darkness is not to commit a single sin, even if you're ignorant of it. To walk in darkness is to have a course of life in darkness. It is to generally sin. And indiscriminate sinning is what walking in darkness is. That's a known. One sin doesn't mean that there is you're walking in darkness. I want to look at his instinct. All right, now I want you to notice. Now, saying these things are parallel doesn't make them feel the darkness. Okay, you understand that? Now, if you live right for 3 years, actually it's 1 year, is what you're telling me. All right? Then you'll be granted pardon for all your crimes. All right, now you understand, and I understand, that the pardon would be granted after the 3 or 1 year, whatever period of time it was. All right? You understand that? And I understand that. Now, if it's parallel, then we won't be granted from our sin until after we've walked in the light. How long do we have walked? How long do you have walked before you're clean? That's what is that parallel? That's what your position is. No, we're clean from all sin if we walk in the light. It's a benefit up now. The parallel in that 238, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, remit your sin, and you shall be prepared, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Alright, the gift of the Holy Ghost was a benefit, a result of their repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, remit your sin. But you know, they didn't have to go on repenting and go on being baptized. It was a two single acts that they had to engage in. Two single things that they had to do, two conditions they had to meet, and immediately upon meeting those conditions, they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost as well as the remission of sin. But that's not what walking in light is. Walking in light is a general course of life. As an individual who is learning through it, and as he learns it, obeys it. You got to start before the horse. When you said obey it before you learn it, no, I don't believe God expects you to obey. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Well, before 8:6, pretty good. I appreciate Bruce. He's obviously a Bible student. When I said, look at Hebrews 6, he opens his New Testament instead of reading from my chart. But that's not fine. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have one that have need, if one teach you again, which be the first principle of the Lord God, have become from the time of such a need, and it was not a strong need. Now, notice that when for the time you ought to be teachers, notice there's responsibility there linked to a period of time during which God allowed for growth. No, I don't believe God expects you to obey things that you haven't had time to learn. Especially, I don't believe He expects you necessarily, I don't believe He expects you to repent of things you haven't had time to discover in your life. I want to notice his end forward. And to get my 8:22, baby, please. Channel of light, we step out of light and we sin. He said. Okay, the son again, him again, back in the section dealing with genuine loving as a condition of walking in the light. You won't cause your brother to stumble if you're walking in the light because you'll love him. That has to be by hating. If you hate your brother, you're not walking in the light. I answered that on my first chart, well, not third chart, or fourth chart, whichever one it was there, walking in the light. We have walking in the sea walk. Walking in the light is going to walk in truth. A Christian begins his walk in light by repenting out of the faith and sins he committed while outside in disobedience to the light. Now, here's what I want. We are to walk in light as he is a light. And verse 5 says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, he means anything by that. He means we are to live in him. 8:22, please. If I understand it, here's his argument. God is light and in him is no darkness. God is perfect and never sins. Therefore, Christian walks in light, and in him is no darkness. Christian walks perfect, he never sins. That seems to be his argument. All right, now, 8:23, please. If that's true, look at that dilemma. Christian walks in light as God is in light. Christ's blood cleanses Christian from sin. That's what verse 7 says. Therefore, it's other is logical, this is logical. God is light, therefore Christ's blood cleanses God from sin. That won't work. it won't work. But it's a kind of an argument that he made. And in 23. There's not many hands as it takes. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point, he is guilty of all. The right, I believe that. But you need to take that verse in its context. James chapter 2, I don't have that particular verse on the chart. James chapter 2, 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that says, do not commit adultery, that also do not kill. And thou committest no adultery, but yet hast thou killed, thou shalt transgress the law. He's not saying you're guilty of every commandment, but guilty of violating the law as a whole, which is offended in any one point. There's no doubt about that. I believe that. The righteous of the righteous shall not deliver him a day of transgression. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sent. I believe that. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 12, that's not dealing with an individual who is trying to do what's right and misses the boat somewhere along the line because he's ignorant of God's will. No, that's an individual who turns from walking in the light and starts walking in darkness. He either stops learning truth or he stops obeying the truth that he has learned. That's the individual there. Or it may be that he's having right living, but it may be that he stopped loving his brethren. He doesn't genuinely love anymore, therefore he's not walking in the light. Or it may be that he stopped truly believing. And there's three elements of walking in the light. He's going to stop and go, no, that doesn't work. That's individual, not walking in the light. Here are these examples. I don't think you can prove them in a case. You tried last time on the man of God who believed the lie and said he was guilty of sin and ignorance. But now, he knew exactly what God told him. He knew exactly what God wanted. God told him that. That wasn't a sin of ignorance. Simon the sorcerer, he was in the gall of bitterness. Everybody who ever commits a sin of ignorance, then apparently from your heart, is in the gall of bitterness. All right, now I want to see my chart, Hebrews 10, A19. Please, A19. I may not have gotten it up for you. Still right down there.
Yeah.
A19. He who besides Moses' law died without mercy or two or three witnesses, of how much sore punishment supposed ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he is sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done the sight of the Spirit of grace. Now, apparently, you believe these are characteristics of an individual who is guilty of sin of ignorance. He committed a sin of ignorance. And it doesn't matter how long he's been a Christian or how short a time he's been a Christian, apparently, according to you. If he's given a sin of ignorance, he's committed one sin of ignorance. If he's in a gall of bitterness over there in that kind of race, and he's trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted blood of the covenant, wherewith he sanctified the unholy thing, and done despite the Spirit of grace. If you know in the context here, you know what sins he's dealing with? I didn't have this verse on my God. But Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after they were received the knowledge of the truth, we're not no more sanctifying for sin. We're certainly fearful looking forward to judgment by him. Why do you think around the book of Hebrews and make that distinction? He's talking about willful sin here. What if this individual is guilty of willful sin? Then if God doesn't put the Son of God, the count of blood of the covenant, where he's sanctified and unholy, he's done the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace. There's an individual who has willfully sinned, who is in a gall of bitterness. No. Simon knew exactly what he was doing. He wanted that power that the apostles had so that he could have the kind of influence he had had in the past when he was bewitching the people with his sorcery, which probably included the use of drugs and potions and other such things. End 23 again. Now it is down at the bottom, I think, this position, talking about my position now. That says that 99 good things, good general life, can make up for one or two bad things in the doctrine of salvation earned by works. No, it's not. It's not that. It's not. No, the only individual, if it's the case, and I'm not saying it's always going to be the case, if it's the case that 99 good things can make up for one or two bad things, it's only because the individual is walking in the life that he has. He is walking according to the rule brand that he has obtained. It doesn't matter whether it's 99 to 1, 98 to 2, 93 to 7, 97 to 3, or 5.